time. Ain't nothing but a grab you by. Love ain't nothing but a feeling inside.
ಶಂತ ಅದು ಪಂದ್ಯ ಮಂದೋಕ ಕೊಂದೇದಲ್ಲು ಮನ್ ಕಂದೋ ಸ್ಥಳ ಮಂದ ತಮ್ಮಂತ ಶಂತ ದೇಯೋ ನಿಂಚುವದ ಕಿನ್ನು ಗಲಂಬ ಗಾಯ ಶಂತ ಯೌಲು ಗ ಕಿನ್ನು ಯೌಲು ಅಂ ದಲ್ಲ ಕನ್ನ ಮಯ್ಯಂತ ಪನ್ಯಾತೈ ಮನ್ನೈ ಶಂತಯ ಕೀಲೋಗ ಯೌಲೋಗ ಕದ್ದಲ್ಯ ತುಂ ಯೋ ಕಂದ ಅಲ್ಲ ಅಸ್ಕಾರ ಸಂದೈ ಶಂತ ನುಂಜ
First I came to Louisville, some pleasure there to find. A damsel there from Lexington was pleasing to my mind. Her rosy cheeks, her ruby lips, like arrows pierced my breast. And the name she bore was Flora, the lily of the west. I courted lovely Flora, some pleasure there to find. But she turned unto another man, which sore distressed my mind. She robbed me of my liberty, deprived me of my rest. Then go, my lovely Flora, the lily of the west. Down in yonder shady grove, a man of high degree, conversing with my Flora there, it seemed so strange to me. And the answer that she gave to him, it sore did me oppress. I was betrayed by Flora, the lily of the west. Stepped up to my rival, my dagger in my hand. I seized him by the collar, and I boldly bade him stand. Being mad to desperation, I pierced him in the breast. Then go, my lovely Flora, the lily of the to stand my trial, I had to make my plea. They placed me in the criminal box and then commenced on me. Although she swore my life away, deprived me of my rest, still I love my faithless Flora, the lily of the west.
Mijn kijk op de oorlog in Oekraïne in de week van 25 november tot 4 december. Zelensky dubbele punt. Oorlog komt in nieuwe fase. President Zelensky van Oekraïne heeft de bocht gemaakt. Afgelopen vrijdag 1 december gaf hij toe dat het contra-offensief niet heeft opgeleverd wat hij ervan had gehoopt. De oorlog is een nieuwe fase gekomen, geeft hij toe, en Oekraïne gaat zich nu voorbereiden op defensieve stellingen. En dat is een zeer grote stap voor Zelensky, die maandenlang volhield dat er geen padstelling was en dat de militaire overwinning te behalen is. Daarvoor moeten doorbraken in de Russische stellingen worden gemaakt en dat is onmogelijk gebleken. Dat betekent ook dat de weg vrij is om nieuwe oplossingen te bedenken voor de oorlog. De ommezwaai van Zelensky zal de regeringsleiders in Europa steunen die menen dat de oorlog een bevroren conflict is geworden, dat zeer moeilijk met meer wapens kan worden beslecht, zoals premier Fico van Slowakije. Dat zal de stille krachten steunen die menen dat onderhandelingen moeten worden begonnen. In de komende weken zullen deze ontwikkelingen zich verder aftekenen. En dat brengt me op de volgende onderwerpen. Spanningen in de Oekraïnse regering, de situatie aan het front, mobilisatieproblemen van Oekraïne, de houding van de NAVO en is er een geheim plan? Over de spanningen in de Oekraïnse regering. De afgelopen weken waren de spanningen tussen Zelensky en Zaluzhny, de hoogste generaal van Oekraïne, hoog opgelopen. Het ging om de analyse of de Oekraïnse oorlogvoering sinds het offensief succes heeft gehad. Zaluzhny vond het niet. Een padstelling is er, oordeelde hij. En Zelensky hield tot 1 december vol dat het goed ging. Dat leidde tot openlijke spanningen die in het Westen aan het licht kwamen door een opinieartikel van Zaluzhny in The Economist op 1 november jongstleden. De hele maand november woedde het conflict. In Oekraïne verschenen positiebepalingen van tal van vooraanstaande figuren voor of tegen Zaluzhny. En de burgemeester van Kiev, Vitali Klitschko, stelde dat Zaluzhny gelijk heeft. En daar loopt nog de kwestie van presidentsverkiezingen doorheen. In maart 2024 zouden verkiezingen voor een nieuwe president moeten worden gehouden. Maar in een oorlog waarin 18% van het grondgebied bezet is en miljoenen stemmers naar het buitenland zijn gevlucht, is dat geen sinecure. Zelensky acht het onmogelijk, maar vooral in de VS wordt er in Trumpistische kringen op aangedrongen om de verkiezingen door te laten gaan. De zaak is onbeslist, maar er worden wel peilingen gehouden over de populariteit van vooraanstaande figuren. Het gaat om vertrouwenscijfers die van midden november zijn en tonen dat Zelensky het vertrouwen van 32% van de Oekraïnse bevolking heeft. Wat minder is dan de helft van Zaluzhny, want die heeft 70%. En de chef van de geheime dienst, Kirilo Budanov, scoort 45%. En dat zijn grote verschillen en met het conflict over de oorlog in aanmerking genomen is dat ongunstig voor Zelensky. Dat brengt mij op de situatie aan het front. Rusland blijft proberen een doorbraak te forceren bij Avdiivka, ten noorden van de stad Donetsk. Daarbij worden grote aantallen soldaten verbruikt, als het ware, gedood. Het resultaat is mager. Er worden kleine vorderingen gemaakt bij het maken van een tankbeweging om de stad Avdiivka heen. Toch heeft Rusland de stad nog niet ingenomen. Tegelijkertijd worden er iedere nacht raket- en droneaanvallen op de energievoorzieningen gedaan om de Oekraïnse maatschappij deze winter opnieuw in de kou en het donker te zetten. Dat lukt maar een beetje, omdat veel projectielen door Oekraïnse luchtafweer worden afgevangen. In Rusland worden ook weer nieuwe mobilisatieprogramma's opgezet. De Russische krijgsmacht moet met 170.000 soldaten worden vergroot. Daarmee zou de totale omvang op 1,32 miljoen soldaten onder de wapenen komen. Op 23 november werd in Rusland een manifest tegen oneindige mobilisatie gepubliceerd. En dat initiatief ging uit van vrouwen. Russische autoriteiten zouden geld bieden om niet mee te doen. Ook zijn er stickers met de tekst: "Ik wil mijn man terug," die vrouwen van soldaten op de auto plakken. En ook dat wordt niet op prijs gesteld door de Russische autoriteiten. Ook Russische soldaten zijn niet erg gelukkig met de oorlog. Het is moeilijk om dat in de openbaarheid te brengen, maar omdat Oekraïnse inlichtingendiensten privégesprekken van Russische soldaten afluisteren, is het duidelijk geworden dat desertiefantasieën niet van de lucht zijn. En dat brengt me op de mobilisatieprobleem van Oekraïne. Gevechtskracht is een combinatie van mensen en wapens. Het wapen of systeem en de bijbehorende munitie. en van beide is een groot tekort voor Oekraïne. Gesteld wordt dat de gemiddelde levensverwachting van een soldaat aan het front op dit moment 14 dagen is. 14 dagen. Nu wordt gesteld dat sinds het begin van de oorlog 650.000 mannen in de dienstplichtige leeftijd, die gaat van 18 tot 60 jaar, naar het westen zijn gevlucht. En daar kwamen nog andere zaken bij, zoals de nu openlijk besproken mobilisatieproblemen. Zelensky werd verweten dat hij te laat ingreep bij de corruptie in wervingsbureaus, waartegen een forse som een afkeuring kon worden gekocht. En vervanging van het totale ambtenarenbestand is te laat gekomen. Niemand wordt nog vertrouwd, ook de nieuwe ambtenaren niet. En omdat er te weinig aflossing is, is het misschien niet vreemd, maar wel zeer opvallend, dat frontsoldaten een actiepagina op Telegram en een petitie starten waarbij ze eisten om demobilisatie, aflossing en verlof. Ze moeten te lang aan het front verblijven. En gesteund door het thuisfront, dat zijn vrouwen en kinderen, werd zelfs 2 maal gedemonstreerd in Kiev op 27 oktober en 12 november om deze eisen kracht bij te zetten. En de reactie hierop op deze campagne is een nieuwe wet om uitzendbureaus in te schakelen bij de werving. Een nieuw recruteringssysteem dat met behulp van uitzendbureaus voor soelaas moet zorgen. En dat brengt me op de ontwikkeling in de NAVO. Vorige week, 27 november, vergaderden de ministers van Defensie van de NAVO in Brussel. De NAVO-top in Brussel ging naast andere zaken ook over de oorlog in Oekraïne. En duidelijk is dat de NAVO de moed erin wil houden, maar dat onderlinge verschillen over de koers groeien. NAVO-baas Stoltenberg wil dat de NAVO Oekraïne op koers houdt en dat het aan Oekraïne alleen is om te beslissen of het wil onderhandelen. Het onderwerp hoe staat het met de onderhandelingskansen met Rusland zal niet openlijk gecommuniceerd worden en ook niet de openbare agenda behelzen. En een oplossing voor het structurele gebrek aan munitie voor Oekraïne, de afnemende steun voor de bewapening in Oekraïne, de overwinning van Wilders bij de verkiezingen en zoals vermeld de analyse van Slowakije dat de oorlog een bevroren conflict is geworden, zijn genoeg thema's om het stille plan voor onderhandelingen harder uit te spreken. En dat brengt me op het slotpunt. Is er een geheim plan? Het was uit de snippers informatie van de afgelopen maanden al duidelijk dat in kringen van de NAVO weinig geloof werd gehecht aan de optimistische verhalen van president Zelensky. Begin november werd duidelijk dat zeer stille diplomatie noodzakelijk was. In openbare verklaringen en uitlatingen is daarvan niets te merken. Maar de praktijk bewijst anders. Zelensky heeft nu toegegeven uit een ander vaatje te moeten tappen. Dat betekent dat geleidelijk aan een andere mentaliteit over de mogelijkheden van oorlog voeren zal moeten ontstaan. En in Duitsland pakt de Bild-Zeitung uit met de ontdekking van een geheim plan van de VS en Duitsland. Beide landen zouden Oekraïne nog wel wapens willen leveren, maar alleen om stand te houden tegen verdere aanvallen. Bezet gebied heroveren wordt onmogelijk geacht. De Oekraïnse regering moet nu inzien dat onderhandelingen met Rusland zouden moeten worden begonnen over soevereiniteit en territoriale integriteit. Of dit een plan is, of dit zelfs een geheim plan is, is niet zeker. Wel is duidelijk dat ook Zelensky bereid is een nieuwe fase in te gaan. Another piece of the puzzle, never out of place. What do you do for you now? I'm trying to keep my calm, but it's getting harder. Been that way from the start. This is trying times in a trying world. You can't burn, can you do that? You learn. You keep up with the rhythm. Do you set the pace? Another piece of the puzzle, never out of place. Do for you now. If you try it, just when it feels like you're going insane.
Deed het met succes. De woorden vriendschap en liefde, het woord vader, de woorden verraad en vergeef, ik raakte er bijna in verstrikt, verloren, want zonder dat ik het wist, beschreef mijn hand de gebaren bij die woorden, mijn hart en mijn ziel bewogen. Het had echt niet veel gescheeld. Alleen mijn hond had het door en hij groomde in zijn slaap. Het lichaam van mijn vader. Het lichaam van mijn vader, die vlak voordat hij stierf mijn kind werd. Het lichaam dat ik ineens zag verschijnen in de uitstalramen van de boekenwinkels. Op posters, op televisieschermen. Het lichaam waarover ik liep, waarop ik sliep, waarop ik at en dronk. Er groeiden gras en huizen op. Het lichaam dat aan ieders blik aan de hele wereld werd geopenbaard. Verkrampt, doodop, afgemat. Water, aarde, stenen en zand. Het lichaam van mijn moeder, een licht lichaam, al was die gevuld met vloeibare pijn. Ik nam het in mijn handen, een grote vlieger, en ik liet hem op. In de wind, op het water. En toen kwam er iemand 's nachts en dreef een harpoen in mijn hart. Haalde het eruit, een springende vis. En legde het hier, op tafel.
Factories. I'm going to date myself. I remember it was the Congress around 1990 or 1991 or so, where I was sitting together with some people who came over to the States to visit the CCC Congress, and we were kind of riffing on how great the internet is going to make the world, you know, how it's going to bring world peace and truth will rule and everything like that. boy, were we naive. Boy, were we totally wrong. And today, I'm going to be schooled in how wrong I actually was, because we have Svea, Dennis, and Philip to tell us all about the fake-like factories around the world. And with that, could you please help me in welcoming them onto the stage? Svea, Dennis, and Philip, thank you very much.
Yeah, welcome to our talk, Inside the Fake-Like Factories. So, my name is Philip. I'm an internet activist against disinformation, and I'm also a student of the University of Bamberg.
Hi, thank you that you listen to us tonight. My name is Svea. I'm an investigative journalist, freelance mostly for NDR and ARD. It's a public broadcaster in Germany. And I focus on tech issues. And I had the pleasure to work with these two guys on, for me, a journalistic project, and for them, on a scientific project.
Yeah, hi everyone. My name is Dennis. I'm a PhD student from Ruhr University Bochum. I'm working as a research assistant for the chair for system security, and my research focuses on network security topics and internet measurements. And as Svea said, Philip and myself, we are here for the scientific part, and Svea is for the journalistic part here. So
here's our outline for today. So first, I'm going to briefly talk about our motivation for our descent into the fake-like factories, and then we are going to show you how we got our hands on 90,000 fake-like campaigns of a major crowdworking platform, and we are also going to show you why we think that there are 10 billion registered Facebook users today. So first, I'm going to talk about the like button. The like button is the ultimate indicator for popularity on social media. It shows you how trustworthy someone is. It shows how popular someone is. It shows it is an indicator for economic success of brands, and it also influences the Facebook algorithm. And as we are going to show now, these kind of likes can be easily forged and manipulated. But the problem is that many users will still prefer this bad info on Facebook about popularity of a product to no info at all. And so this is a real problem, and there's no real solution to this. So first, we are going to talk about the factories and the workers in the fake-like factories.
That there are fake likes and that you can buy likes everywhere, it's well known. So if you Google buying fake likes or even fake comments for Instagram or for Facebook, then you will get like hundreds of results, and you can buy them very cheap and very expensive. Doesn't matter. You can buy them from every country. But when you think of this bought likes, then you may think of this. So you may think of somebody sitting in China, Pakistan, or India, and you think of computers and machines doing all this, and that they are, that they are fake, and also that they can easily be detected, and that maybe they are not a big problem. But it's not always like this. It also can be like this. So I want you to meet Maria. I met her in Berlin, and Harald. He lives near Mönchengladbach. So Maria, she's a retiree. She was a former police officer. And as money is always short, she is clicking Facebook likes for money. So she earns between 2 cents and 6 cents per like. And Harald, he was a baker once. He is now getting social aid. And he's also clicking and liking and commenting the whole day. We met them during our research project and did some interviews about their likes. And one platform they are clicking and working for is paid likes. It's only one platform out of a universe, out of a cosmos. Fake likes, they are sitting just a couple of minutes from here in Magdeburg, and they are offering that you can earn money with liking on different platforms. And it looks like this. When you log into the platform with your Facebook account, then you get in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, you get, we call it campaigns, but these are pages, Facebook fan pages, or Instagram pages, or posts, or comments. You can work your way through them and click them. And I blurred, you see here the blue bar, I blurred them because we don't want to get sued from all these companies, which you can see there. To take you a little bit with me on the journey, Harald, he was okay with us coming by for television, and he was okay that, and we did a long interview with him, and I want to show you a very small piece out of his daily life, sitting there doing the household, the washing and the cleaning, and clicking.
Das geht so einen ganzen Tag, also ich muss mal wirklich den Kopf schütteln, ob das jetzt auch wieder eine Pizzeria, auch bei Instagram eine Pizzeria aus dem Münchner Raum ist, der jetzt irgendwo ein Bild macht von seiner neuesten Pizza-Kreation. Es ist alles möglich. Quer durch den Garten, ob das Politiker sind oder Hundezüchtervereine oder Karatevereine. Jetzt muss ich lediglich Gefällt mir drücken und schon habe ich Geld verdient.
Come on. Could be like that. You click and you earn some money. How did we meet him and all the others? Of course, because Philip and Dennis, they have a more scientific approach, so it was also important not only to talk to one or two, but to talk to many. So we created a Facebook fan page, which we call like a line under a line, because I thought, okay, nobody would like this really. And then we did a post, this post, and we bought likes. And you won't believe it, and it worked so well. 222 people, all the people I paid for, liked this. And then we wrote all of them. And we talked to many of them, some of them only in writing, some of them only we just called or had a phone chat. But they gave us a lot of information about their life as a click worker, which I will sum up. So what PaidLikes by itself says, they say that they have 30,000 registered users. And it's really interesting because you might think that they are all registered with like 10 or 15 accounts, but most of them, they are not. They are clicking with their real account, which makes it really hard to detect them. So they even scan their ID, so that the company knows that they are real, then they earn their money. And we met men, women, stay-at-home moms, low-income earners, retirees, people who are getting social care. So basically anybody. So there was no kind of bias. And many of them are clicking for two and more platforms. I didn't meet anybody who is only clicking for one platform. They all have a variety of platforms where they are writing comments or clicking likes. And you can make, this is what they told us, between 15 euro and 450 euro monthly if you are a so-called power clicker and you do this somewhere kind of professional. But these are only the workers, and maybe you are more interested in who are the buyers, who benefits.
Yeah. Let's come to step two. Who benefits from the campaigns? So I think you all remember this page. This is the screen. If you log into PaidLikes, and you see the campaigns with you have to click in order to get a little bit of money. And by luck, we noticed that if we go over a URL, we see in the left bottom side of the browser a URL redirecting to the campaign you have to click. And you see that every campaign is using a unique ID. It is just a simple integer. And the good thing is it is just incremented. So now maybe some of you guys notice what can we do with that. And yeah, it is really easy with this constructed URLs to implement a crawler for data gathering. And our crawler simply requested all campaign IDs between 0 and 90,000. Maybe some of you ask why 90,000. As I already said, we also registered as a click worker, and we saw that the highest ID campaign used is about 88,000. So we thought, okay, 90,000 is a good value. And we checked for every request between these 90,000 requests if it got resolved or not. And if it got resolved, the redirected URL represents the source that should be liked or followed. And we did not save the page sources from the resolved URLs. We only save the resolved URLs in a list of campaigns. And yeah, this list was then the basis for our further analysis. And yeah, here you see our list.
Yes. This was the point when Dennis and Philip, when they came to us and said, hey, we have a list, so what can you find? And of course, we searched for AFD, was one of the first search queries. And yeah, of course, AFD is also in that list, maybe not so surprisingly for some. And when you look, it is AFD Gelsenkirchen. And the fan page. And we asked AFD Gelsenkirchen, did you buy likes? And they said, oh, we don't know how we got on that list. But however, we do not rule out an anonymous donation. But now you would think, okay, they found AFD. This is very expected. But now, all political parties, mostly with local and regional entities, showed up on that list. So we have CDU, CSU, we have had FDP, SPD, AfD, Die Grünen, and Die Linke. But not that you think Angela Merkel or some very big Facebook fan pages showed up. No, no. Very small entities with a couple of hundreds or maybe 10,000 or 15,000 followers. And I think this makes perfectly sense because somebody who has already very, very much many fans probably would not buy them there at paid likes. And we asked many of them, and mostly they could not explain it. They would never do something like that. Yeah, they were completely over-asked. But you have to think that we only saw the campaigns, the Facebook fan pages. We could not see who bought the likes. And as you can imagine, everybody could have done it, like the mother, the brother, the fan, you know, the dog. So this was, we would have needed a lot of luck to call anybody out of the blue, and then he would say, oh yes, I did this. And there was one, or there were some politicians who admitted it, and one of them, she did it also publicly and gave us an interview. Is Tanja Kühne. Tanja Kühne, she is a regional politician from Walsrode in Niedersachsen. And she was it was the case that it was after election, and she was not very happy with her fan page. That is what she told us. She was very unlucky, and she wanted, you know, to push herself and to boost it a little bit and get more friends and followers and reach. And then she bought 500 followers. And then we had a nice interview with her about that. Show you a small piece.
Wenn man sich jetzt sozusagen diese Likes kauft, würden Sie sagen, das ist Betrug?
Ich würde nicht sagen, das ist Betrug. Also es ist ein Mittel der Kommunikation.
Und wer die Fälschung nicht bemerke, dem mangele es an Medienkompetenz.
Da ist das Thema Medienkompetenz wirklich gefragt, sich wirklich zu überlegen, kann das denn überhaupt sein?
Also ist sozusagen kein Betrug, wenn man Likes kauft.
Nochmal, also warum Betrug? Betrug kann es ja nur sein, wenn wir als Gesellschaft sagen, dass das das Maß oder der Maßstab für uns ist, für Beliebtheit.
Okay, so you see, answers are pretty interesting, and I think she was that courageous to speak out to us. Many of others did too, but only on the phone, and they didn't want to go on record. But she's not the only one who answered like this, because of course, if you call through a list of potential fake-like buyers, of course they answer like, no, it's not a scam. And I also think from a jurisdictional way, it's also very hard to show that this is fraud and a scam, and it's more an ethical problem that you can see here, that it's manipulative if you buy likes. We also found a guy from FDP from the Bundestag, but he ran away and didn't want to get interviewed, so I couldn't show him. Yeah, he bought, or not, probably. He was like 40 times in our list for various Facebook posts and videos, and also for his Instagram account, but we could not get him on record. So what did others say? We, of course, confronted Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube with this small research, and they said, no, we don't want fake likes on our platform. Paid likes is active since 2012, you know, so they waited 7 years. But after our report, at least Facebook temporarily blocked paid likes. And, of course, we asked them too and spoke to them and wrote with paid likes in Magdeburg. And they said, of course, it's not a scam because the click workers, they are freely clicking on pages. So, yeah, kind of nobody cares. But paid likes, this is only the tip of the iceberg.
So we also wanted to dive a little bit into this fake like universe outside of paid likes and to see what else is out there. And so we did an analysis of account creation on Facebook. So what Facebook is saying about account creation is that they are very effective against fake accounts. So they say they remove billions of accounts each year and that most of these accounts never reach any real users, and they remove them before they get reported. So what Facebook basically wants to tell you is that they have it under control. However, there are a number of reports that suggest otherwise. For example, recently, NATO Stratcom Task Force released a report where they actually bought 54,000 likes, 54,000 social media interactions for just 300 euros. So this is a very low price, and I think you wouldn't expect such a low price if it would be hard to get that many interactions. They bought 3,500 comments, 25,000 likes, 20,000 views, and 5,100 followers, everything for just 300 euros. So, you know the thing they have in common? They are cheap, the fake likes and the fake interactions. So, we also have, there was also another report from Wise Germany recently, and they reported on some interesting facts about automated fake accounts. They reported on findings that suggest that actually people use internet or hacked Internet of Things devices and to use them to create these fake accounts and to manage them. And so it's actually kind of interesting to think about this way, to say, okay, maybe next election your fridge is actually going to support the other candidate on Facebook. And so we also wanted to look into this, and we wanted to go a step further and to look at who these people are. Who are they, and what are they doing on Facebook? And so we actually examined the profiles of purchased likes. For this, we created 4 comments under arbitrary posts, and then we bought likes for these comments, and then we examined the resulting profiles of the fake likes. So it was pretty cheap to buy these likes. Comment likes are always a little bit more expensive than other likes. And we found all these offerings on Google, and we paid with PayPal. So we actually used a pretty neat trick to estimate the age of these fake accounts. So as you can see here, the Facebook user ID is incremented. So Facebook started in 2009 to use incremented Facebook IDs. And they use this pattern of 1000 and then the incremented number. And as you can see, in 2009, this incremented number was very close to zero. And then today, it is close to 40 billion. And in this time period, you can see that you can kind of get a rather fitting line through all these points. And you can see that the likes are, in fact, incremented. The account IDs are, in fact, incremented over time. So we can use this fact in reverse to estimate the creation date of an account where we know the Facebook ID. And that's exactly what we did with these fake likes. So we estimated the account creation dates. And as you can see, we get kind of different results from different services. For example, paid likes, they had rather old accounts. So this means they use very authentic accounts. And we already know that because we talked to them. So these are very authentic accounts. Also, like service A over here also uses very, very authentic accounts. But on the other hand, like service B uses very new accounts. So they were all created in the last 3 years. So if you look at the accounts and also from these numbers, we think that these accounts were bots. And on service C, it's kind of not clear. Are these accounts bots or are these click workers? Maybe it's a mixture of both. We don't know exactly for sure. But this is an interesting metric to measure the age of the accounts to determine if some of them might be bots. And that's exactly what we did on this page. So this is actually a page for garden furniture, and we found it in our list that we got from paid likes. So they bought, obviously they were on this list for bought likes on Facebook, on paid likes. And they caught our eye because they had 1 million likes. And that's rather unusual for a shop for garden furniture in Germany. And so we looked at this page further, and we noticed other interesting things. For example, their posts, all the time, they got like thousands of likes. And that's also kind of unusual for a garden furniture shop. And so we looked into the likes, and as you can see, they all look like they come from Southeast Asia, and they don't look very authentic. And we were actually able to estimate the creation dates of these accounts, and we found that most of these accounts that were used for liking these posts on this page were actually created in the last 3 years. So this is a page where everything from the number of people who like the page to the number of people who like the posts is complete fraud. So nothing about this is real, and it's obvious that this can happen on Facebook, and that this is a really, really big problem. I mean, this is a shop for garden furniture. Obviously, they probably don't have such huge sums of money, so it was probably very cheap to buy this amount of fake accounts. And it's really shocking to see how big the scale is of this kind of operations. And so what we have to say is, okay, when Facebook says they have it under control, we have to doubt that.